Hello, welcome back to the For Reals Up podcast with Amanda and Jessica.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. So we had a tornado, a crazy, huge, intense tornado on this a couple of days ago, and I haven't even told you about like the situation at all. What happened yet?
No, we haven't had a chance to talk about it. No.
Yeah, so we knew the weather was going to be bad. You know, they always do this. But in Omaha, we, like, in the last 5 years, we really haven't gotten tornadoes. And the tornadoes that go by always seem to, like, miss us or fizzle out. And so people have just become, like, when they turn the sirens on, it's like people don't even take it serious anymore. They're just like, whatever. But they've been telling us all week that it's a big deal and there's going to be tornado and hail and possibly. And so my mom's out of town, so I told Travis, because her car was at my house, so I was like, well, let's at least take her car and put it in her garage just in case there's hail. So we did that, and then I knew I was going to be getting, because I can pick up Kayla, my special needs daughter goes to day program, and I can pick her up at any time. So I was like, I'll get her early and get her home, and then it was supposed to all be hitting right when school gets out, like right around 3:30 time. And our schools didn't like do anything different. They didn't try to let the kids out early, nothing. And so I was like, I knew I'd be okay to get Grace and Ramona because I'm picking up my friend, good friend passed away in August, and I pick up her kids at school and get them home, and then their dad comes home. So they are home. And so I pick up Grace and Ramona at one school, but then I have to get Arthur at the elementary, and his school doesn't get out till 3:30, which is right the time the tornadoes are hitting, like between 3:30 and 3:40. And so I was like, well, what I'll do is maybe I'll get the girls, run them back to the house. And then I'm like putting myself at risk to be driving and going to get Arthur and then get him back. But so I ran and got the girls, and as they're walking to the car, our phones, like the weather service phones, are going beep, beep, like crazy. Like everybody's phones are like national weather alert, because this tornado has been on the ground. It started in Lincoln, and it's not like it's just a watch. It's like, it's a warning. There's an actual tornado on the ground coming towards Omaha. Like, we know about this. It's headed this way. It's not possible. It is happening. It's coming, and it looks like it's getting bigger and worse. And so get underground, get somewhere safe, like, be careful. This is not something to play with. You need to, like, this is serious. And so I'm like, I get the girls home. I'm like, get in the house, get some snacks, go down in the basement, because they're out at we've got home at like 3:10, so they have a little bit of time. But as soon as we drive into the driveway, then the big sirens are going off. Well, we have one like literally right by our house, like one of this, like it's so loud. And so like our phones are on beep, this is like sirens blaring, like the energy is like intense. I'm like, get downstairs, get some blankets, get some snacks. And Travis is there, he got great, like he took Kayla down in the basement, the dog down in the basement. And then I was like, okay, I guess I'm gonna go get Arthur. But as I start driving, I'm like, well, maybe I should call Dusty. Like, maybe he got off work, or I don't know what he's doing, but let me just find out if, like, there's a possibility. So I called him, and he was like, yeah, they're letting us leave, so I'll just handle Arthur. And thank goodness, because I was like, what do I do? Like, they don't, it was 3:15. School's not released till 3:30. The sirens are going off. Like, should I even be in my car? And, like, all these people are in cars, like trying to get their kids, not knowing if they can get kids. And it was just insane. So I went back and went in the basement with a family, and it was total chaos for poor Dusty, because he got to the school, but they of course were like, no, we can't let the kids leave. Well, send, there's all these parents like out in their cars, like, should I go home then? Or like, what do I do? Like, and then you feel bad because you're leaving your kid at the school, like this, like that. Of a tornado, the poor little babies are all like scared. And you, like, I think Dusty told me later that, like, a few of the parents were like, you're giving me my kid, like, I'm taking them.
Right. That would, like, be me. That would be, although I think the school is probably safer than our own houses, but I still would have been like, no, you don't get my, like, kid.
Like, to not have access to your kid when you feel like a life threatening situation is awful. Like, you're like, you want to protect them, like it's your instinct to protect them, but then you know they're there, and then it's so hard. So I think that was like chaos. And Dusty lives not very far from that elementary school, like up the block, a couple blocks. So he just went home for a little bit. But then it was like hard because like they wouldn't release them until the even though the tornado passed after a little bit, they were like, we can't release them until it's like the weather service says. And so it was like, he's like,
just let me have- I know, too many people telling me I can't have my children. No. This is ridiculous.
I think it was pretty stressful for Dusty. I'm so glad that that was not me, because I would have had to like go over to Dusty's house and like go in his basement. And I'm like, then I'm away from everybody by myself. Yeah. And it was like not... It just missed our house, and we didn't even get much of the big storm and hail because I guess the tornado got so intense it like sucked all of it with it, and it was blowing it mm-hmm. out the other direction. So our side was like, it was sucking from our side and blowing out to the left. So uh-huh. it was probably like, I would say like maybe 4 to 5 miles from my house to the west. But it was really close to Grace's dad's house. Like it was right there. Like it was like maybe the next neighborhood over that got wiped out, and his neighborhood didn't. And so she was supposed to go home with him, and they just got there. It would have been right there. They went outside and they could see it. So many people went outside and watched it. I didn't. I was like, just let me be in my basement and not know what's going on. But I cannot imagine being in your basement.
We always, when I lived in Louisiana, we always went outside in the hurricanes. It was crazy. When we were in the Virgin Islands, we got hit by a hurricane, and it was a bad one. And I let my boys go out to the beach and stand in the hurricane.
I did. In Oklahoma, we had that F5 tornado that was, you see in all the shows that they saw, and that started by my house and hit a bunch of my friends' houses. But nobody in Oklahoma has basements because the ground is clay, the red ground clay. So like you can't dig into that to build basements. Very few people have like actual basements. It might be different now but when I was growing up, very few people had basements, but most people here in Nebraska have basements because the ground here is different. So I think that's the saving factor, is that a lot of people, but there was no deaths here, which is shocking. But when I was growing up, my mom, and that tornado was coming, we were outside, we were watching, it was huge, ginormous. And my mom was like, get in the car, we're going to go over to so-and-so's house because that lady had a basement. Well, then we went over there and she went home. And then we went to this guy who had built this like gun store, whatever. It was all cement walls. And she was like, we're going to go over to the guy's house to build. And then they weren't, so we ended up just like being outside watching it. Like, what would have happened if it turned directions? And like, that was like less than a mile from our house. It was like literally down the road watching it. Like, and you could just see everything. Like, it was crazy. But yeah, so anyway, that was Friday, and that was insane. And then you were asking me, what we wanted to talk about was like, what's it like afterwards? Like, how does the community come together? Like, and Nebraska is just like, and I don't know, a lot of places are like this, but Nebraska is like home, like totally America. What you feel like is homebred American people, like good, wholehearted, like they always just like show up. Like if anybody knows anything about like Nebraska football and Cornhuskers, we had a spring game yesterday. And there's like 90,000 people that show up in spring game.
Off season, 90,000 people.
Yes, like people just show up. It's just insane. Like, so that same energy is applied to anything that happens in Nebraska. It's like they just show up. I saw all these posts of like these people that have all these like big heavy equipment. They got this like street lined up already, like that right after it happens, and they're like, "We're ready to roll in tomorrow at 7 or whatever. Who's meeting us?" They like, you know, they probably have like their buddies, and they're all like, "Yeah, dude, we're gonna like get over there and get started on this." It's just like, what do we need to do? So like, I love Nebraska for that, and that energy of like just showing up. Like our Huskers have not had a winning season for like 20 years, but they don't quit. They just keep showing up. They're like, it's going to be this year. we're going to have a winning season this year. We're not giving in. And so, yeah, the support and the loyalty and the being able to put aside like political and religious differences or whatever and just come together is like amazing to see. And I mean, so many, how I can't, just can't imagine, like, can you imagine, like, you're in a basement and then you get like the top half of your house just sucked off, but then everything you have is gone. Like, I was just thinking, yep. like, you know, how like lucky I am to be able to like get up and like go brush my teeth at my sink and like have my clothes in my closet. And like, you know, they are finding like photographs 30, 40 miles away in Iowa. Like, they're posting them online and they're like, I just found this person. It's like a check from 1949 that was written to somebody that looks like they had, like, they may have collected with some photos. The tornado like flew it into the universe and dropped it into Iowa, like 30 miles away from here.
Wow.
Yeah, there's like pictures like that are still together. They're not even like wind or weather or rain damaged. They're like fully yeah. intact photos of like little kids and their names on the backs. So it's like so and so 15 months. And they're like, does yeah. anybody need this? Like, yeah, it's crazy. Oh, and there was a sign because it happened near, there's one of the neighborhoods where it was near what's called Maple Street. The green signs for the street that was found in Iowa somewhere. The Maple Street. Wow. Yeah.
Like, yeah, because Maple Street is that's like a main street in Omaha, right? That's yeah. like a main, yeah, main street. the whole yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I was really curious because I'm having this like come back to community like movement within my own self, within my own being. I've been feeling it since around December. And I've tried to exhibit it in several different ways in my own life, but I was really curious, like, in this day and age where everybody is so self-absorbed and individual and they also want to stay in their own bubble, what does that look like when your community is overtaken by such a tragedy? And how did people react, you know, modern people react to something like that? So that's awesome. That's great. But
yeah, and like a lot of the churches and stuff, they're all collecting things. And I saw people like that said, hey, I have a room in my basement, or I have a rental house if anybody needs to stay there. Or like, there's just people like opening up their places, homes and rental yeah. places just for people to be able to stay in. And like, there's people, all these churches and areas collecting like all these things. They made a list of all the things that they need. And yeah, so it's like everybody just jumps right in like quickly too, like, and just starts going with yeah. it.
That's wonderful. I love that. And I love that your community is able to put aside their differences, because I know it's not like that in all the places in the country. So yeah, that's great. I am trying to do that, like I said, in my own life and some aspects of my life, bringing more of a community feel to it. We've been talking about the feminine a lot. The feminine thrives in community, as in, you know, in cohesiveness. And so I think that's probably why I'm feeling that now. And yeah, within our own, like my husband's fire department, I'm trying to reach out to the wives and bring us together and bring us closer together more and put together events that force us to be together so that we can remember who we are. You know what I mean? We can remember where we came from and remember that we all have this one thing in common that makes us have a bond that, you know, that is worth something. So I think that, right. I think that's so, with these times and the way the politics is now, everything's so divisive and it's very up in the air. Everything is really feels like it's on a teeter totter, where it's like it could go one way or the other any day now. And I think that sense of community is going to become more and more valuable for everyone.
Right. In America. Yeah, and I think it's times like these that remind you, you do need other people. You do need community. You do need the help. I mean, as much as we want to be able to like be independent, do stuff on our own, just take care of ourselves, there's times when you do have to count on people in your life, and you do need family and friends and community and the support of people and people coming together to help each other out. And it, that aspect is just as important as the individual. You know, there's like, you need to do some stuff by yourself. There's some like healing, and there's work and things that you need to do to, on your own, where you can really connect to yourself and have time for yourself and the things that you need. But then there's that balance of like showing up for others too. And
yep,
having that aspect in your life is probably equally important, and also equally important for life satisfaction and happiness, you know?
Yeah. No, it is. I find it very satisfying to participate. I mean, I've said more than once that my husband is a firefighter, right? And so he's like living that exact mantra with his job, where he shows up for the community anytime they need him, and he saves the community when they need him. You know what I mean? So I think that we as a family live that a little bit more deeply because that's what he's chosen to do for his career. But I definitely know that it's fulfilling for him to be able to offer that, and to know that, you know, that, and for the community to know that he's there. But it makes me want to give back too. It makes me want to find a way to help and bring my community together as well. So that when times like that happen, the tragedies that, you know, everyone knows, well, they can call Justin Clay because they'll be there for them no matter what. And I don't know. I think if more of us were like that, I think that the temperature of our country might be a little bit different, unfortunately.
Yeah. And also just remembering that, like, you know, we're all going through stuff and everybody needs the support, and to like, just even offering like, and reminding people that, hey, like, I'm here if you ever need anything, or like just saying, thinking of that, like, because sometimes I think we just get so caught up in ourselves, which is understandable. Like, we all go through stuff and life is gets hard, but then remember like the people around you are going through stuff too. And remind them like, I care, I'm here. Like, what can I do to help you? Or like, if you remind them, if you need me, I'm here. Like, I want to be there for you. If I can, like, obviously we always can't if things are going on, but if I can, I'm more than happy to come over and help you or be a part of things or support you or do what I can to help you through hard times.
Totally. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a good reminder for all of us. And then like, personally, I just like, I've been going through some health stuff, so that also reinforced all that, because like, it's like, what happens if I get sick or I can't do things or like, or I'm not here anymore. Like, I'm, you know, the family, I need family and friends to help me out. Even though I don't like the idea of it, I want to do it. I want to do it myself. But then, so yeah, so that part of my life is also showing me like, this is important, Amanda. You need to have community. You need to have friendships. You need to have people that can help you, because you can't, you're not meant to do it all by yourself.
Right. Or you need to have people that will help your family if something were to happen to you. Yes. And the people who care about you and are connected to you in a way, and your whole family in a way that they want to step up. Yep. So yeah, there's two aspects to this. It's the wanting to be a part of the community and connect with people more, but also allow connecting with people so you can allow people to give back to you and be there for you. Opening up to that.
Yeah, there's, which I think is the hardest.
I think, yeah, it's a two-way street though, and they both have to be together. You can't just have one or the other, you know?
I know, and when I talk to people about this, because I think it's hard for people to let people help them, like they don't want to have to get help, but I always remind them like, do you remember how good it feels to help others? Like when you were like, you stepped in and helped others, like that, it gives you like this sense of like satisfaction to like know that you did something good for somebody, you know? Like it's like this, I don't know, it's a rewarding feeling to know that you helped. And I was like, by you not letting people do that for you, you're taking away that ability for them to feel that way. For you're taking that like that rewarding feeling, like I stepped in, I was able to help, like that, people need that. Like they need to feel like they're needed, they're wanted. Like, and when you're not allowing them, especially somebody that they care about or somebody that you're close to, you're not allowing them to care for you or step in for you, you're taking that gift away from them. And so I think that's an important message for all of us to remember is like, let your loved one take care of you. Even like your husband bringing you coffee or like, or asking your kids to do something special for you because like that's teaching them the like, oh my gosh, you thought of me. Like it's teaching them the gift of doing service to someone else because, and then that reinforces like, oh, this feels good. Like to step in and help out. This feels like it's a good, I need to do this more. Like look out for my tribe, look out for my people. And but when we just are independent, we just do ourselves and we don't let people do that, we're taking away those gifts from them. We're not teaching them the value and the importance of that.
Yes, right. And then what I find myself doing sometimes, and it's a bad habit, is keeping track, keeping score. So if somebody gives me something, then I, in my head, I owe them, right? They do something for me, they owe me something, and now I owe them. And I had a friend correct me yesterday because she gave me a, she has a skill set, and she gave me a service for free using her skill set. And in my head, I keep telling me that, telling myself that I owe her, I owe her, I owe her. And so I know that at some point, I'm going to be able to give back, right? But I keep looking at it as a, I owe her. And so she, I had the opportunity to give back to her with a service that I have, that I provide. And so we're kind of like trading services rather than trading cash or, you know, goods or anything. And I, so I jumped on it and I said, of course I can help you with this. And I owe you anyway. And she was like, no, that's not that. Don't say you owe me. You don't owe me. I did something out of the kindness of my heart, and now you're doing it back, but it's not a tit for tat. It's not a keep track. And I was like, oh, you're right. It's true. Then don't do it that way, because that's not. She didn't like it, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but it makes you want to do that in return. It makes you want to look out for those people when you know that they've done
But
that.
the cool thing is that it seems like it all just works itself out in the end eventually anyway. It's like, you know, okay, she did this for me. She provided the service. I don't need to give her money for it because there is going to be an opportunity that arises at some point that I can give back to her, right? And it always occurs. It always happens, and to even it out anyway, you really just don't have to stress about it.
Yeah, it's true. Very true. Well, any other thoughts on this whole tornado crazy community supporting each other topic?
No, I'm glad we got to be able to do that, have that little reminder that community is important, connection is important, and the giving and the taking, both of them are equally important.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, that's it for this episode. We'll see you guys on the next one. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.